This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. The state Senate approved legislation on Thursday that would allow candidates to raise unlimited amounts of money for super PACs. The House could vote on the legislation this week. Michigan Campaign Finance Network Director Craig Mauger has previously said that this legislation would amount to Citizens United on steroids. Craig Mauger joins us from the Michigan Public Radio Network studios in Lansing. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
The defense we will hear of this bill is that this is just keeping in line with the Supreme Court decision on Citizens United. How does it go beyond Citizens United?
Yeah, I encourage your listeners, as boring as all of that sounds, I encourage them to pay attention to this and try to grasp what's going on here to the largest extent possible, because this is really in the weeds of how politicians raise money in Lansing. Basically, the Citizens United decision, it's an extremely long decision, but the important part of it is it says that government can put no limits on independent spending by corporations and labor unions in our elections. The important word in that is independent. The court was trying to weigh the idea that we need to limit the appearance of corruption and corruption in our government while also realizing that freedom of speech is a value that we uphold greatly in this country. So the way they did that is by saying people can spend anything they want as long as they do it independently of candidates, of office holders. Because if they were giving the money directly to office holders, campaigns, the court has recognized previously that there could be an appearance of corruption, and that's why we have things like campaign contribution limits. If someone in Michigan wanted to give to one of the candidates running for governor, an individual, they could only give $6,800 to their campaign. So the question is, how does this bill go above Citizens United? Well, while Citizens United said the spending has to be independent, this bill sets out to define what independence is, and it says that independence is not broken if a candidate is fundraising for the super PAC, the independent spender. So a candidate could go out and ask a donor to give $1 million to a super PAC that's going to support that candidate, and that independence would still be there under this bill. Similarly, the bill also says, very clearly that super PACs, these independent spenders, and candidates' campaigns can share some employees, some campaign consultants. And as long as they don't convey certain information about what's going on with the candidate's campaign, that's okay. The problem is here that it's allowing candidates to work so closely with these supposedly independent groups that it's going to make a lot of people question, and I question, how independent these groups really are.
The bill passed in the Senate with all of the Democrats opposed, and also two Republicans, including Margaret O'Brien, who represents Kalamazoo County in the state Senate. She voted against it. But Senate Majority Leader Arlen Meekhoff denies that the bill has any sort of a partisan advantage. Let's hear a little bit from State Senate Majority Leader Arlen Meekhoff.
I don't think it's Democrat or Republican. It's all people have free speech regardless of how they're organized. That includes unions.
Craig Mauger, is it a free speech issue?
I would say no, and I will continue to make that argument. This bill is not about the freedom of speech. The freedom of speech is the expression of the viewpoint that these people want to get out there. So the court has said, they can do that independently of the campaigns. That's recognized. That's already out there. People will see tons of super PAC ads in the upcoming election and probably did in the last few elections. Those ads are allowed. Groups can spend independently as much as they want in our elections. What is at stake here? The heart of this bill is how closely those independent spenders can work with the actual office holders, the people who will be voting yes or no, the people that are there to represent constituents. The question here is how closely can they work together? And that's not a freedom of speech issue. The ability of a donor to hand a check directly to a senator or a House member is not a free speech issue. The viewpoint that they want to cast out there is allowed to be cast out there. Other states have looked at this and tried to limit the ability of these checks, these unlimited checks, to be solicited by lawmakers. At the federal level, under federal guidelines, A candidate for president could only solicit $5,000 to a super PAC that supports them. So this goes beyond what others are doing. I don't think it's a freedom of speech issue. The ability for a super PAC that's independent and a campaign to share consultants, I don't think is about anyone's speech. I think what it's really about is someone's ability to make money off both the super PAC and the candidate. And I'm talking about campaign consultants who do this work.
Okay, specifically to his point about a partisan advantage, he says, you know, the unions can do this. Of course, the corporations can take part. So if everybody is coming into the fight with the same amount of firepower, should we be that concerned about it?
I like the way you asked that question. If everyone's coming into the fight with the same amount of firepower, that's the heart of this issue. It's not a partisan thing. It's the firepower. Someone who's a billionaire in Michigan has a lot more firepower in this system than someone who doesn't have that kind of wealth to their name. And that's what one of the things at stake here is someone who has a ton of wealth is going to be able to go to these fundraisers. They're going to get the special invite to the fundraiser. They're going to be able to hand their huge check to the candidate directly. And then the organization that the check is ultimately going to benefit can then, you know, work somewhat closely with the candidate's campaign. It's not a partisan thing. It's about who has that firepower and empowering people who can write really large checks over those who can't. You know, we studied in the 2016 election where the money came from for the independent spenders in state elections. And half of the money that the top 20 independent spenders got came from just 12 sources. 12 out of this entire state. So, I mean, I think your question is definitely on the mark.
Former Congressman and state lawmaker Joe Schwartz of Battle Creek, he's now a member of the board of directors with the Michigan League of Conservation Voters and issued a statement. The Gongwer News Service says that basically former Congressman Schwartz says that it's hard to believe that your elected representative is looking out for your best interest when he or she receives undocumented and unlimited financial contributions from anyone and everyone. Would you agree that that is what has been set up, assuming that this Senate bill ultimately becomes law?
Well, I mean, we kind of have a system that's already allowing that. And this bill would definitely encourage that. And there's no way it's doing anything to take on the problems that we have in this state with transparency and ethics. I mean, we're ranked 50th out of all 50 states for our systems to encourage transparency and accountability. That's from the Center for Public Integrity. I think this bill is going to make it more difficult to follow the money for sure, to trace who's asking for the donation, who the money is ultimately benefiting, and who's giving the contributions. I mean, that's the important thing to think about with Citizens United as well. When you talk about corporations' ability to give, a lot of people will kind of off the top think about corporations they know, you know, Walmart, utility companies, you know, these corporations that they run into every day. You know, corporate entities can also be, an LLC that was set up yesterday and started giving campaign money the next day. Things get murky in this realm, and you've seen that at the federal level. It's been very difficult to track where a large amount of the money going to super PACs is coming from. And as we see here, the states are kind of moving in that direction.
And you're saying that Michigan is already really bad when it comes to transparency, and if this bill does ultimately become law, it's going to get worse.
I think this bill does nothing to remedy where we're at, and I think as money moves into this corporate giving world where more and more of campaign giving shifts from individuals giving to candidates' campaigns to corporations giving to super PACs that may or may not be working extremely closely with the office holder, it's going to become extremely more difficult to track the money. And it's not just me saying, you know, we're 50th out of 50. It's the Center for Public Integrity. People can go on there and look at the metrics that they use to get that ranking. The metrics were basically like, what does your law say on this? What does your law say on this? It's not really open for interpretation that our laws are extremely weak in this area.
So if this does become law, what would you say that voters in Michigan, and for that matter, just citizens, people who watch television and see, you know, political commercials come up during the breaks or open their mailbox and find campaign mail waiting for them, what can they expect if this becomes the law of Michigan?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that we're moving in this direction already, even without this bill. This bill could speed things up a little bit and could amplify it a bit. But what they can expect to see is messages to be much more negative, because often the negative attack ads come from these outside groups, not from the candidates themselves. So when you're bolstering super PACs, they're going to be sending out a lot more negative attack ads, and you're going to see a lot more advertising. I mean, a lot of the money that is raised is spent on TV advertising, and as more and more money pours into our political system, there will be more and more TV ads, and they'll be more negative.
The Senate passed a similar bill during the last term, and it never made it out of the House. Do you think that there is the possibility that there could be some reluctance to approve this bill, maybe some public pressure that encourages lawmakers to take another look at it?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the state senators yesterday made a statement on the Senate floor that his office had received 300 responses to this bill, and all but seven we're encouraging him to vote no. So there is public pressure happening on this. As what, you know, we've seen this with past campaign finance bills, however, that public pressure has not been able to stop what the legislature is doing. Arlen Meekoff, the Senate Majority Leader, has essentially stated that he's got an agreement from the House that this bill is going to be put up there, and it seems like he thinks it's going to get a yes vote in the House. But what actually happens and how the votes break down, that all remains to be seen. The House has very rapidly scheduled a committee hearing for early Tuesday morning to talk about this bill. So it seems like they're setting it up to move it quickly through the chamber.
One of the things we talk with you frequently about, Craig, is dark money, contributions where we don't know the source who gave it. Does this allow contributions to get to places and maybe put up one more level of secrecy or one more barrier that makes it tough for, say, people like you to find out exactly who is giving money and what they're trying to influence?
Yeah, I mean, I think it will encourage that. It's going to encourage the idea of, you know, people giving money where it's impossible to track. A lot of it's going to be left up to how the Secretary of State interprets the law and enforces it. But what we have seen previously is we've seen dark money nonprofit organizations able to give checks to a super PAC that then runs a TV ad. We've seen that happen. It's documented in Michigan at the state level. So it wouldn't be shocking if that happens and continues to happen. But I mean, these dark money groups can already run as many ads as they want in our state, as long as they don't use those very important words of vote for or vote against. So it will be interesting to see if some of the dark money spending shifts over to this super PAC spending. That's all going to play out in 2018 for the first time if this bill becomes a law. And, you know, all indications are is that 2018 is going to be one of the most expensive elections in state history, if not the most expensive. So it will be fascinating to watch all this.
And does that make it, from the standpoint of someone like yourself who looks at how this money is spent and raised, maybe the worst time for this sort of thing to pass, when you're talking about a very expensive election on the horizon, and now you're talking about ways that make it easier to give and keep the money trail from getting into the public view?
I mean, I would say the cost of our elections is trending upwards election cycle after election cycle. So, I mean, it seems like until something changes or who knows what happens, this is going to continue to happen. The cost of the election is going to go up, up, up. It's just a matter of how much it's going to go up and what is the public's ability to see who's writing the checks and who's receiving the checks. And that's going to be complicated by this bill.
Craig Mauger, as always, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Craig Mauger is the director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. He joined us from the Michigan Public Radio Network studios in Lansing. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.